Paul Osilguero Jr. Is joining us this morning. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. Glad to have you here this morning. I know that you're an Attleboro resident. You're running as a state rep, as a candidate for state rep. There are a number of other candidates out there. But before we get into that as well, we've seen you around because you are a familiar face in Attleboro. You're a recent graduate of Attleboro High School, but you also ran as a candidate for city council recently as well. First of all, a little background on who you are.
Sure. So I'm 23 years old, graduate Attleboro High School 2013. I graduated from Bristol Community College right after high school. That was 2015. Mm-hmm. Had my criminal justice degree, an associate's, and a certificate in law enforcement. I transferred to George Washington University. I was there for a semester, and then I transferred to Anna Maria College, where I played football, and I finished my bachelor's degree in criminal justice with a minor in sociology. And now I'm finishing up my master's degree in criminal justice as well at Anna Maria College.
And you are still at, you're doing some work there right now at the college, right?
Yep. So I work as I'm a grad assistant, which just means you get paid for 15 hours, but you also get different benefits. So mine are, you get a free class, another class at like 25% off. But it's I'm a program coordinator / resident director, so I work in residence life with planning different events and just being the resident director on duty sometimes.
You're 23 years old, and this is something that I've mentioned on the air a couple of times in the past. And I always give a lot of respect to these young people like yourself who want to get into politics at a young age. And I think that's terrific to see that. You know, we saw that with Kevin Dumas, you know, when he was, 27 years old, running for mayor for the first time. And as I said, it doesn't matter who you are, you know, male or female, want to get into politics at an early age. That is a tremendous task. It is, you know, you do a lot of work with that. You do a lot of homework and stuff. But as I said, I think that is a wonderful opportunity to finally get out there and want to make a difference for people out there as well. I know a lot of people remember you because of an unsuccessful run for city council, but You tried hard. You did get some votes out there. And how was it out there on the trail as you started going out there to campaign for council at large?
Sure, it was definitely an experience. I loved door knocking because everyone has a different story, mm-hmm. right? So both personally, and then I always ask, you know, what are the concerns are in the city.
Sure.
So everyone else has a different concern. Everyone has something that bothers them in mm-hmm. the city. So it was cool getting to hear from everyone what they thought. A big one that I always heard was our education, due to the layoffs that happened the year prior to me running. Mm-hmm. But it was I enjoy it. I love talking to people, hearing what they have going on mm-hmm. in the city. So
when you were running for the council seat, one thing you need to do is get out there and put your bio out there. You know, you sat in the AACS studios. You had gone to some of the debates. You were at the Agudas Hakim, where former high school principal Ron Straminski, who actually noted your mom Maria sitting in the back, and just give a shout out to your mom and family as well.
Yeah. Hi, mommy, daddy, Sean, my little brother, who's probably in school. I sent him the link, but I hope he's not listening and actually paying attention into class. And then my sister Alexandra. Hi, Alex.
All right. And, your mom as I said, I don't know you. I don't know your family. But knowing of your family here, very, very active family as well, a very close-knit family as well, right?
Yep. So my background is Portuguese. Mm-hmm. My family immigrated from the Azores, which are nine islands in the Atlantic Ocean.
Great food there, too.
It is. Great. If you like seafood, it's the best shrimp I've ever had when I went to the Azores. But my mother's from San Miguel, which is St. Michael. Mm-hmm. And then my dad's from Terceira. Terceira, it just means third. It's named Terceira because it was the third island out of the nine that were mm-hmm. discovered. So they immigrated here in the late 70s, early 80s. I believe my father came in 77. Yeah, because then he got hit with the blizzard of 78 uh-huh. the next year after they were here. And my mother immigrated in the early 80s. I believe she was like around 9 or 10 years old when they came here. But uh-huh. But yeah, we close-knit family. We speak Portuguese at home, and pretty close with each other. So
yeah, the other thing is you live locally off South Main,
mm-hmm.
and so it's you're kind of like in the you're available for a lot of areas. I mean, that is what ward is that?
Where I live, it's six ward.
That's
six.
Ward six. Okay, yep. So. You wanted to be a city councilor, but unfortunately, you didn't get that, unfortunately. But did you also want to try for Ward 6's spot as well? I know Shannon is no longer on this slot, but did you think about that first before getting into at large?
Excuse me. At one point, I did. But when I met Diana Holmes,
yeah.
who ran, I, she was a great candidate. So
sure.
I didn't see and then different. The at-large was a little bit different. They were all incumbents. And at-large, so I kind of looked at, like, the playing field. So at-large, you had, five spots.
Mm-hmm.
You were, running for a seat as opposed to running against a candidate.
Sure.
So I think once I saw Diana, I was like, there's a good candidate for Ward 6.
Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't going to, put my hat because.
Right. And being in an at-large seat, you can basically kind of take care of the entire city with the wards. It's kind of, they are taking care of everything else, but they're emphasizing those particular wards as
mm-hmm.
well. And certainly Ward 6 has a lot of tight-knit families, as well as all of the other communities as well. As you jump into this field now as a state representative candidate, why go to that why did we hit to state rep? I mean, I know that's very important, of course. We've seen a lot of tremendous people back there. As I said earlier, I give you a lot of credit on that, and I hope people will know your name and will understand what you want to do. You're in your early 20s. You want to make a difference in the city of Attleboro and the state of Massachusetts. Why going to the state rep?
Sure. Excuse me again. So I looked at it as, so my goal is honestly to make a difference, right?
Sure.
So even like you can see the bracelet I have.
Yeah.
It says make a difference. So that's mm-hmm. kind of how I live
and
my
life. And it's also it's blue for Attleboro.
Yeah.
There you go.
So I ran for city council, unsuccessful at that. And then when Mayor Haro vacated his seat,
mm-hmm.
I said, that's another opportunity to try and help our community. And it's similar to running at large. It's even less because you don't represent Ward 3B,
mm-hmm.
so it's less. And I said, I think a lot of good can be done there, if the right person's in office. So I said, I'm gonna run for it. So that's what made me ultimately decide.
Yeah. Are there mentors that have you seen growing up? Are there mentors that you've actually looked towards? Political people out there as well.
Sure. So I think we all have. Like a politician or, a mentor. Growing up, like that I've met personally,
mm-hmm.
Professor John Lepper. I call him Professor. Everyone just calls him Rep. Mm-hmm. Lepper.
Yeah.
He was a professor I had at BCC.
Right.
Who actually held the same spot. I interned for Paul Hero at the State House, so that was another person. But on the national level, I mean, there's so much history. I mean, I think, FDR, Franklin Roosevelt, to be president during the time he was and what he went through, I think that's pretty admirable. But, to say that I aspire to be someone, I know I kind of try to be myself. I want to pave my own road, sort of.
Going back, you mentioned John Lepper.
Mm-hmm.
I've known John for many, many years as well. Always there for the people. I know when the inauguration was on the 2nd of January, he was up on stage giving the oath for some people as well. But as I did not grow up in the Attleboro area, grew up in Providence and then moved to Johnston. But work, as I told you off mic, that I started working in this area in 1984, got to know a lot of local people, especially a lot of politicians working with radio and TV for all of my life. One gentleman who I see on occasion was another former state rep, Steve Carroll. Steve was back in the early 80s, was one of those guys who, nice-looking guy. He was always helping the people out there. And I know he lived off of West Street, then moved over to near Locust Valley some years later. But everybody who ran as a state representative and won always had the same outlook. They want to make sure that, in fact, most of them were all Attleboro residents, which is great to see that. But they were all willing to work for each other and all the families. You had Bill Bowles, George mm-hmm. Ross. You mentioned John Leper, Paul Hero. You know, all of these people out there who want to make a difference. State Representative Betty Poria, Kevin Poria, who's now the town clerk of North Attleboro. All these people who are making a difference in people's lives. And I can hear the passion that you have in your voice. And that's exactly where I see you going. Hopefully, you will get those votes. And I think you're very admirable out there. But I hear that passion in your voice that you really want to help these people in the not just the city, but in the state as well.
I do. That's why, you know, that's why I hate when you see like these politicians that get involved in, you know, the crooked business, because you're in a position. And this is how I feel across the board. So even like athletes, when they're in a position, they're role models. They can do so much good in this world, and they get involved in the bad stuff. So that's how I look at it. You can be in a position, and it's not just, you know, helping the people that voted for you. It's helping mm-hmm. everyone. You know, it doesn't matter who they voted for. You're still there in that position. So that's how I look at it is, you know, you only have so much time in this world, right? So try to make a difference. And I look at people that impacted me, and can I give a shout out another
sure.
one?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you know Steve Shepard.
Oh, yes, yeah.
So when I was in fifth grade, I met him. He was retiring as a dare officer. Mm-hmm. And I can remember just the way he carried himself and how he cared. And I said, you know, and he was just a mentor for me. And I said, if I can make that impact on someone growing up, I think I've accomplished something mm-hmm. in life. So that's kind of how I live, and I want to, and you know, my parents too, they, you know, how they've cared for me since I was born.
Right.
I just want to, you know, pay it forward, if you will, to mm-hmm. Everyone else. So.
Yeah. You know, Steve Shepard, I've known him for many, many years, seen him recently, and he still is in the same house here in Attleboro. I'm glad you said that name, because you had to go through the DARE program as well. Mm-hmm. How did that impact people, you know, in the fifth grade as well?
Sure. It was, you know, and there's all talk about whether or not that program actually works or not. But I can say, you know, I don't think in middle school you really saw it as much. At least when I was in school, mm-hmm. you really didn't, encounter drugs as much as opposed to when you were in high school. But I think it was a good, and they try to make it somewhat fun. Like when you do, when you're learning about alcohol, they put like I don't know the specific name. We used to call them the drunk goggles that made you, it makes you see like, double mm-hmm. vision. And so that was pretty interesting for the student. Everyone got a kick out of that. I remember there was one student that did it perfectly. And we were all like, how are you doing it perfectly? And he goes, I don't know. I'm just playing the game. I was like, even the officer was like, I don't know what's going on. But I think it was a good introductory. Mm-hmm. I think students need to be familiar with those. You know, and there's always talk about, is it too young or not. But I'm not, I never got involved in that stuff. So whether or not I can say it's due to that program, I don't know. I think a lot of it goes back to how you're raised and who you hang out with, to be honest.
I'm in the same boat as you. I have never had any drugs or anything like that. I've never smoked in my life as well. So I think it is the way that you were brought up. Mm-hmm. You know, my family, brought up as Roman Catholic, and it's not just to do with that, but I think it's the values that we had growing up as well. We're going to take a quick break right here. We do have the latest conditions on the roadways once again. Gina Brown standing by with another update on the traffic out there. Gina, how are we looking?
Well, no change on 24. Light traffic, though, south of the area of 27, which is where you're being diverted off after the earlier accident. Now, we do also have updates on the multiple accidents reported in between Mansfield and Foxborough. So those accidents are clearing out. Traffic is thinning a little bit, getting up toward 140. Unfortunately, we're still heavy approaching 495. Like I said, three accidents clearing there. Now there's a new one around Mechanic Street, Walpole Street area, so you've got a pocket of heavy, slow traffic there. 295 southbound, there's a crash trying to get down into Cranston, so you're backed up through Johnston, so it's a mess. You don't want to use 295. 95 is backed up. Typical delays coming out of Pawtucket. We're looking at some heavy traffic on all roads in right now. Next report coming up. I'm Gina Brown with your AM 1320 traffic.
All right, Gina, thanks once again. Of course, we do have one more update on the traffic coming your way very shortly here on 1320.
You're listening to WARA 1320 AM Attleboro.
All right, sorry. We do have Paulo Silguero Jr. in studio with us. As I said, we are not going to be doing the 8 o'clock update on news right now. But we are going to get another update on the weather forecast in just a few moments with meteorologist Jim Corbin. Paulo is actually a gentleman who is actually running for a state representative candidate here in this area. One thing we just mentioned a second ago about the DARE program, you're talking about former DARE officer Steve Shepard, who was a big influence in a lot of people's lives as well. The DARE program still is underway. They just recently had a graduation last week at Wamsutta. And for me, I would say, now a lot of people have different ideas about this. I like to see to continue a lot more of the DARE programs. I think it does work because a lot of the students out there are in their, you know, fifth, sixth grade, fifth, 10, 11 years old. Some of them say, oh, they should go a little later on that. But I think when you get into that 10, 11 years old, you're starting to get, you know, maybe some of that peer pressure down the line. Some communities like Rehoboth have canceled it. They don't longer have it anymore. What is your aspect to their program? Does it work? Should it continue in some of the schools or should we bring it back? I know that there are grants out there, but Attleboro does keep it going every single year. And we just recently got a brand new DARE officer recently as well.
Sure. Great question. So my take, so there's kind of two ways I look at it, right? So from a fiscal point, right? So I'm all for like research-based policy. So if the research is done in saying that it truly helps students, then I would love to see it. And maybe this is one that's like maybe even if the research, because I don't know how you can say someone didn't get involved due to a program. But I can tell you, like, if it wasn't for the DARE program, I don't know if I would have met Steve Shepard, right? Officer Mr. Shepard. And so I really think having it, you know what, I would still say yes. You know why? Because as a student at that age, at like 11, 10, 12, you're meeting a police officer, so you're beginning to have that relationship with an officer. And I think that's really important at that age because as long as that DARE officer has the right attitude towards the students, they're going to grow up to have an appreciation for law enforcement. I think that's extremely important because your first interaction with law enforcement is crucial, right? So if you're hanging out and, you know, and granted, not every officer is like that, but let's say you have a cynical one, then when you're a kid, your perspective is like all cops are like that, right? Especially at that age, you have that attitude, and not everyone, but again, you know, a typical 10-year-old or 11 might have that. So I think that's really important. One, you're learning the material, and two, you're getting to meet a possible mentor, possible influence in your life, and really molding your opinion about law enforcement. So I would say I think it's important to have it. Even, you know, police officers in school, that's another thing people always like to talk about. I still think in terms of, I think that position has become more, schools look at, and I know I'm kind of going off here, but that was my take. I would love to, I'd still like to see DARE in schools. But in terms of police in schools, I think as long as it becomes more for security and mentorship as opposed to disciplining, because that shift happens a lot. And even some DARE programs and schools look to an officer for disciplining their children. And I think that shouldn't happen. I don't think that's the right thing because I've done a lot of research on school-to-prison pipeline. And different policy schools have that may encourage students to get arrested or encounter our criminal justice system. So I think the police in schools are also a great idea. But if it's focused on security, you know, with all these active shootings, and mentoring our students as opposed to disciplining our students.
Mm-hmm. And that actually, I like the way you said that, because you do have some, you did take some courses in criminal activities of mm-hmm. and justice as well. And that actually, now, is that something that, you know, if and when you do get to be a state representative, is that something that you want to continue doing? Do you want to continue as far as in the criminal law as a lawyer, or you want to get into it as a police officer, or what is down the line?
Sure. So I think later on, I would like to get into law and white collar crime prevention. Mm-hmm. So one of my certificates, I have two. I'm going for my degree plus two certificates. One is forensic accounting and fraud examination, mm-hmm. and then the other is mental illness, crime, and justice. So those are the two parts I really enjoy, right? So forensic accounting, fraud examination, the white collar crime prevention, and then the mental health side of criminal justice. Because it, believe it or not, mental health is it's a topic that I think is important, but sometimes may get overlooked when talking about criminal mm-hmm. justice reform. So those are the two things. But later on, I would love to get into law and go that route.
Yeah, and you on that topic, it actually kind of goes hand in hand with what our police and fire departments are doing now with the sheriff's department. And also a very important aspect, we just had Carrie Ballou here just last week from Arbor Fuller Hospital mm-hmm. Dealing with all these patients that have problems. And I know Detective Steve Baudet does work with that hospital all the time as well. In fact, Carrie and Steve are going to be in our studio within the next couple of weeks again to talking about some of those issues. And with that help, I think, you know, you've got the Attleboro, the POP program, the patrols mm-hmm. out there. And I think, you know, I have seen and I've known a lot of the police officers, some of the police officers, like you said, Steve Shepard, and a lot of the men and women who have actually retired now, and some of the ones that are currently on now as well. And I think working with especially with the police and fire, especially now talking about the police department, I think I've known the current chief, Kyle Hegney, for a number of years. And with his background and work with the youth, I know, especially when the police officers have the breakfast or the coffee with a cop, I think that is a very, very topical and top priority, because they're getting, like you mentioned, these 10-year-old kids going and seeing somebody as a mentor. I think what Chief Hegney is doing and the other chiefs before him doing that does make a big impact on not just the kids, but the residents.
For sure. So I'm a huge advocate for, so all that stuff, the POP, some people might not know, but it's problem-oriented policing. And then, so that kind of goes hand-in-hand with community-oriented mm-hmm. policing, right? So that, I love seeing that, you know, me personally, I would have like foot patrols too.
Yeah.
And some departments have specific divisions called, this is a community-oriented policing. Mm-hmm. In my opinion, I think every single police officer, like, I don't think you have to have a division to have that mentality, mm-hmm. right? So I think any police officer can, you know, shoot a basketball with the children playing
right,
outside.
Right.
And that, believe it or not, that goes a long way, because they go, oh, look, you know, that guy is so cool,
mm-hmm.
you know? And they grow up, you know, and one, you have the mentor now, and you grow up with the, hey, not every police officer is, you know, and nowadays police brutality, all that stuff
right,
comes
yeah.
up. But, you know, a few bad, and then again, it goes to, like, what's actually being shown out there, right? You always
right,
see the
yeah.
bad, you don't necessarily all see the good. But I definitely...
Yeah, every cop is not a Dirty Harry.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. And I think sometimes in media, we might see a lot of the bad. You know, we always see, you know, the cop, you know, probably, you know, using too much force on someone,
mm-hmm.
you know, as opposed to, you know, the example I gave, they got a cop shooting a basketball with kids
sure,
in
yeah.
the park. So, but for sure, I'm totally for community-oriented policing efforts and having that within our departments.
Yeah, the and that is actually a huge aspect and an idea for a state representative, because you know this is something that you want to strive to. You want to you don't want to just work like a lot of our representatives. You don't want to just be at the state house all the time. You want to be active in your community. You grew up here. You went to high school here. You went to school in this area. You kind of want to give back to your community, and that's how I where I hear you now saying with the passion. You want to keep that sense of family, the family values. You don't want to you know you want to you don't want to go all out and you know here and there. You want to keep that that aspect of a state rep like we had when we grew up. You know you people were from your community.
Yeah.
And I, as I said, I, you know, this is the first time meeting you, and within the first half hour now meeting you, I can see and feel the passion that you have on there. As I said, first of all, let me just say, as I said earlier, I do wish you a lot of luck on
this.
You know, there are a number of them. Are there besides you, we have five right now all together running?
Together on both sides, yes.
Okay. Now, you're a Democrat.
I am, yes.
Okay. How did you, I mean, a longtime family Democrat or, you know, Republican?
Yeah, so it was, I'm not sure if my parents are Democrats or unenrolled,
okay,
to be honest, but I was unenrolled for a while, and then when I decided to get involved, it's when you're pursuing these positions, it's really hard to get elected as an independent unless you have, you know, a huge name out there, like Jesse Ventura.
Yeah, right.
So he was an independent. He won the governor of Minnesota, but that's like few and far that can get away with that, not get away, but accomplish that rather. So, and then I just try to look at where do I align more? And it's a toss-up, you know? To say that I agree 100% with the Democratic views would be a lie, because I don't. And to say I agree with 100% Republican views, I don't.
Mm-hmm.
But I try to, I saw which, you know, how I kind of relate, you know, as opposed to, you know, I grew up blue-collar, you know, working-class family, and I think I just aligned more with those. But to say that, you know, it's weird because some people go, you know, you're gonna have to, you know, vote your party in the state house. I was like, that's not true at all.
No,
like,
it isn't.
You know, if I disagree with something, I don't think something's right, I'm not gonna vote yes or no just because the Democrats are doing that. Now, if that makes me, you know, a bad politician, then I'm sorry. Well, then give me that title, because I'm not gonna go, you know, and maybe I'm making enemies by saying that.
It's very true the way you say that, because I'll be honest with you, and my audience knows as well, that my wife and I we really look at the person first. You know, if that person, he or she, is a Republican or a Democrat or undecided, whatever, we kind of know, we get to know that person as a person, you know,
as it should be, in my opinion.
Is exactly right. If he or she is a Republican or a Democrat, it doesn't matter. It's how we value and see that person. It doesn't matter, you know, who it is or how they live their life. It doesn't matter at all. We get to see and know it. That's why you go, a lot of times we'll go to some of these candidate forums, you know, like, or get to know them at their constituent hours, because you want to get to know them. When you ran for city council and now running for state rep, you're going to do the same thing. You're going to get out there and, you know, talk to some of the people. And as you mentioned, you have met a lot of the people. How did some of those constituent hours work for you? Now you're going to be real busy now doing this as well for a rep.
So constituent hours in terms of,
as far as, you know, meeting the public out, meeting your voters.
Yeah, so I thoroughly enjoy knocking on doors. And I mean, it's interesting, and it's so interesting because, you know, sometimes you get someone really passionate about issues that really want to talk to you, and sometimes you get a door in your face.
Yeah.
You know? So and that's perfectly fine. That's okay. And sometimes when someone asks what party you are, and you also might get a door in your face, or you might get a welcoming. Right. You know, you might get a, hey, yeah, sure, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, everyone has a specific issue that matters to them, and everyone has you know, their own opinion on things, and then sometimes they want to hear your opinion on it. So I just love talking. I'm sure people can probably tell, but I love talking to people, hearing what they have to say, and then ultimately trying to help them if I can.
Right. As I said, I can hear it. I can hear that you enjoy doing this. We're going to take a quick break here. We do have the latest updates on the weather forecast from Jim Corbin coming up. And also, we're going to take another look at the traffic situation on the roadways. Coming up, still at 21 degrees with some sunny skies on this Friday morning.
Vesta Divorce is presenting a free workshop to learn how to plan for your finances through divorce discussions and afterwards. Learn about the financial implications of your divorce and what things to be aware of while going through the process and afterwards. The speakers at this informational event are Bob Vona and Samantha Steer with Sentinel Financial Group. The workshop will take place at Keller Williams Realty on Manmar Drive in Plainville on January 31st from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. There is no cost for attendance, however, registration is required. To register, you can call Dina at 508-744-6014.
For over 46 years, Amigo Incorporated, located at 33 Perry Avenue in Attleboro, has been offering services and programs for children and adults with autism spectrum disorders and other disabilities. Amigo has been committed to building vital relationships with their expanding community on the local level. From day programs to transitional planning, Amigo provides a continuum of services and support for all ages. For more information, you can view their website at amigoinc.com.
All right, 8:16 now on this Friday morning, and I believe we do have, well, we either have Gina or Jim on the phone lines with us this morning. Hello there. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, it's Jim.
50-50 shot. Anyway, I'll be very quick. Actually, we're at 2 days now, day two of what will be a four-day stretch of quiet weather for mid-January, and then the weather will start to go downhill later on Monday. But even that doesn't look like anything too serious. As always, my two forecasts and report this hour brought to you by Mondovi Dental. They're located at 45 West Street in Attleboro. Dr. Juliana Sager and her staff offer a wide variety of dental services, from cosmetic and restorative dentistry to emergency dental procedures. Services are offered to children, adults, and seniors. They also offer exams, x-rays, and cleanings to promote healthier teeth. And they currently accept new clients. For more information, you can visit MondoviDental.com, all one word. And you can call them anytime and stop in, 508-222-6500. All right, we're going to reach the mid to upper 30s this afternoon. Again, watch out, still another morning of this iciness along the edges where there's been some shade during the day or a little bit of standing water that refroze overnight. Tonight, mostly clear, falling back to the upper 20s, and then it's more sunshine for Saturday tomorrow. Not bad. We'll make it day three tomorrow. Highs in the mid-40s. Yeah, mid-40s tomorrow afternoon. We continue to say goodbye to the snow in our backyards. And then on Sunday, good news for the Patriots game. At least if you're going to be there, you don't want to sit in discomfort. It's going to be in the mid-40s on average. Sunshine, not too much wind, and then thickening clouds on Monday. I think most of the daylight hours of Monday should be dry. But by Monday night, we'll get into some cold rain, and that could end as a few flakes sometime Tuesday. Cold and dry Wednesday through Friday next week. As always, I'll have another update coming up in about 30 minutes.
Okay, Jim, thanks once again. Right now, we're going to head out to the roads, as promised. Gina Brown with our final report on this Friday morning. Gina.
Well, good news. 24 has opened up. We're looking much better on 24 northbound. There's a little buildup before Harrison Boulevard where we had those accidents and subsequently the closure of 24. But all in all, big improvements. 95 north, big improvements there too. Had some accidents clearing out in between 152 and 495 and 140. Those are all clear. We're still a little heavy, but it's getting better. We also still have a pocket of slow traffic up by Mechanics Street. That's also thinning out. There was an earlier accident after Mechanics Street. The expressway inbound to Boston, typical stop and go here. 495 is looking much better, getting up into Milford and Hopkinton now. Well, one place that it's not looking any better is 295 South. Two accidents reported, one by Plainfield Pike, another one down after Scituate Avenue. Has things stopped, locked in from just before Route 6 in Johnston all the way down to just past Route 12. So that's going to be a tough ride. You need to plan on making an alternate plan. Either put off going down 295 or you want to get off at Route 6. Certainly, 95 South is still heavy out of Pawtucket, but it's getting better quickly. So is 146, 610 connector still very much falling over, flowing into downtown Providence. For your return trip, 95 North, 195 West, all both still very heavy trying to get in. If you're thinking about TF Green, 95 South, probably just shoot right down through Providence. It's heavy coming out of Pawtucket, but it's improving rapidly, and it's much better than taking your chances on 295. It's just miles of backup over there. Next report coming up Monday morning. I'm Gina Brown with your AM 1320 traffic.
Okay, Gina, thanks once again. All right, in studio with us is Paulo Salguero Jr. I'm saying it correctly, right?
Am
I?
Yes, sir.
I am. Okay, just making sure that is. As you said, you are a candidate for state representative, and been a long time out of our residence. You went to high school here, and what elementary school? What school did you go to?
We came to Attleboro. I was finishing third grade, and I went to Hyman Fine Elementary, and I went to Wamsutta Middle School, and then we moved from Oak Hill Ave to Richard Street off of South Main. And then I went to Brennan Middle School, and I finished Attleboro High School.
Okay, and you're a recent graduate of Attleboro High 2013.
Yep.
Running for state representative. If you got a question for him, maybe you don't know who he is, you want to give him a call, we have our phone lines open at 508-222-1320, 508-222-1320. If you want to give him maybe a well wish for him, or maybe you know him, maybe you know his family, just want to give, as I said, a well wish to Paul this morning as well. Going back, as we said, we mentioned this off the air, that we've got some notes in front of me, which I haven't looked at it once, but because it's been kind of off the cuff here as well. I think the only thing that was on here was your family background and if what party that you're working with as mm-hmm. well. And I think that's, you mentioned that as well, that I think it's kind of nice to do that, because when I have a guest here in studio, I very, very rarely have notes in front of me, mm-hmm. Because I listen to what those people are saying, and it triggers something else that I'm going to say, and it kind of does. And I've been doing this for a while. And this is your first time on the air.
It is, right? Yes.
Yeah. How's it going so far?
I think I'm doing okay.
I think you're doing okay. Mom, if you want to call, Paulo's here, your son's on the air, I want to give him a call and say how he was doing. That'll be nice to see. And you got a busy day, though, coming up. So.
I have just a meeting at 10, and then I'm going to be out there talking to people again. So.
Okay. As a candidate for state representative, you're, as we said before, your days and nights probably going to be busy, you want to spend as much time locally and then working at the State House. But you also mentioned that you have worked with Paul Heroux.
Yep.
A great mentor. I think, in his first couple of weeks as mayor, I think we've known what he has done as a state rep.
Mm-hmm.
There's still a lot of things, and everybody still learns everything new.
Of course.
And I think I like the idea of Paul wants to be called Paul and not Mayor Heroux. Mm-hmm. I've actually I've talked to some of the mayor's people working in the office recently, and yes, he wants to be called Paul, or just Mayor Paul. And I think working with Paul, you've got to kind of know, a lot of things that he has done and stuff like that. One thing that that at some point we're going to get Paul in studio. One thing that I always kind of busted him up when he came in studio before. Is are we going to have the first dog in office, with his dog that he has, which would be great. You have a little bed on the side.
Yeah, that'd be funny.
With some of the people that work over there with Allison and Kathy and all the other people that are working at City Hall, you kind of get to, you finally start to get to know these people. And I think a lot of people are waiting to see what is going to be coming up down the line. And I know recently in the newspaper they talked about the schools and his project on the schools, want to try to sell some of the other schools. What's your opinion on some of these as well?
Sure. In terms of, so the school issue, this is how I take it, right? So there was some talk about changing the structure mm-hmm. of the school. So I'm opposed to that. I think we should focus on trying to figure out how we can decrease the payment for the residents mm-hmm. because that's a big I think that's the bigger issue than changing the structure of the school. I don't think that should be touched. You should focus on, and that's two things. One, from a political standpoint, you're getting the backing from the community.
Sure.
And then from a realistic point, it's more affordable for people because, and these are ballpark numbers, but let's say $400 increase to someone who's living on fixed income,
yeah,
that's a huge burden. I remember when I was door knocking, I heard from one woman who fell in the flood maps. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that, but for 30 years, they hadn't had a flood, nor were they on that map. One year comes along, they get put on this map,
right,
and it was like a $900 increase. Because I think you do it quarterly, but that was for the year, I believe she said. And I was like, you know, my opinion right away was no one should contemplate eating or paying their flood insurance, mm-hmm, you know. So I think, but in terms of how I feel about the schools, focus on reducing the payment, but without resorting to changing our high school. Because mm-hmm, one, I just think that's counterproductive at that point, because now you got to rehire everyone. Mm-hmm. And
yeah.
I think, and secondly, I don't want to see any of our CTE programs, and that's Career Tech Exploratory, for someone who may not know. That's like plumbing, carpentry, medical. Because I actually graduated from that program. I took medical assisting when I was in high school, mm-hmm, and I saw the benefits from having that. And you know, not everyone wants to go to college. Some people want to be a carpenter or a welder,
yeah.
and that's a growing field. And I think it's vital to have that, because if we don't have it, our students are going to go elsewhere.
Yeah.
And I think, focus on our payments. And just because I think it's important, I would also love to see more resources try to come in for our special education, because when I was door knocking, that was a big one I heard.
Mm-hmm.
I want to really make sure everyone's getting treated properly. And focus on our payments as opposed to changing the school.
Okay. I believe we do have a phone caller on the air. Good morning. You're first. How you doing?
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Who is this?
Maria Sargero.
Hey, how you doing, Mom? How's it going?
Good. How you doing?
I'm doing. Your son is an amazing person. He really, really. How's he sounding, first of all?
I'm sorry, I didn't.
How is he sounding on the air?
Oh, perfect.
Okay. And are any words of wisdom that you want to give your son?
I just want to wish him the best, because he deserves it, and he loves working with people, and hopefully he gets a position.
Yeah, you've seen, as I said, you've seen him. You were there at the Agudas Akim Synagogue. You've been behind him all the time. And just hearing his passion, as I said, Maria, he does have that passion. Who could possibly be our next state rep?
Hopefully everyone sees him the best. He's a hard worker. He tries very hard.
Paul, you want to say something to Mom there?
Thank you. There you go. Love you guys.
Very humbling guy, isn't he?
Yep.
All right.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you so much, Maria.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye. There you go. That is Mom. That's sweet Mom calling in this morning. As you said earlier, when you got a family behind you 100%, that is really, mm-hmm, really key to the issue right there. A lot of people may not have those people behind them anymore or whoever. But I think, as I said, I saw a brief video clip of her at the last debate,
yeah,
in the end of October at the temple there. And, she gave you the high sign, taking the pictures.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
That's actually what the mom should do. I think that's what the family should do. So thank you to her out there. If you want to give Paul a call, we're here for you until 9 this morning. 508-222-1320. That's 508-222-1320. The other thing is there's a lot of those issues out there that our residents have come up to you when, mm-hmm, you were knocking on doors. You're going to continue doing that. When is actually the election for rep?
Sure. So we have a primary, which that will be held March 6th.
Uh-huh.
That's the first step. And then the general, I believe, would be April 4th.
Uh-huh.
So it's March 6th. March 6th is the first point where people go out and vote, because that's, you're trying to narrow it down to one candidate on both sides.
Okay. This is something that, a lot of people, you mentioned about the schools.
Mm-hmm.
Other issues that the state, or the city, and the state are up for grabs. What are you going to be trying working on?
Sure. So my background, being criminal justice, I would like to work on criminal justice reform, and also my background being mental health. I'd like to incorporate that. And one aspect that I would like to see is So mental health training within correctional facilities, that is our correction officer academies along with police academies, because that's something not every county is on the same boat, if you will. Mm-hmm. So some counties receive some training and some don't at all. And I think it's really important. And those that do, sometimes it's not the most in-depth training. And it's interesting because, and it's all along with our law enforcement, because this is something where there's a case, if you go on YouTube, you can find it too, anyone viewing. If you just type in, you know, mental health law enforcement encounter, you can find these. And it's there's a case where a mother calls and says, my son has a mental illness. She's saying this ahead of time. My son has a mental illness. He's harmless, though. The officers respond, and given that they might not have been trained properly, they're taking some of the subject's behaviors as aggression, mm-hmm. when it might be due to their illness. And those that aren't trained, sometimes they pull a weapon first. And a lot of that stuff can be avoided just from de-escalation tactics, just by talking. And, you know, some places have crisis intervention teams, which are officers, plain clothed, no weapons. And then that's all they do. They respond to cases involving mental health and just for these interactions. So I would love to see every correction officer, every police officer receiving the adequate training for this. So that's one thing I'd like to work on. So that's criminal justice reform. I'd like to see in government transparency. Everything that if I was elected, everything I do at the State House, I want the public to know exactly mm-hmm. what I'm working on, because essentially they voted for you, they pay your paycheck, they should know what you're working on. So everything would be online. I would try to do a newsletter once a month for everyone, and just to keep them up to date. And government transparency, I relate it back to like constituent services. So I would like everyone to just talk to me and say, hey, this is what I'd like to see done.
Yeah, you actually, that's basically the same idea what Paul Heroux did as a mm-hmm. state rep. He basically put everything out there. He would, you know, email things out there. He had the newsletter, or he have his Facebook.
Sure.
Basically, you're kind of doing the same thing. You want to have those people out there behind you. You want to know what's going on. It's mm-hmm. exactly what Paul did as well.
Yeah. Because I have the issues that I'm passionate about. You know, I want to make sure, you know, our veterans and senior citizens are taken care of. But, you know, I have my things, but you don't really know how to go about it until, because everyone says, hey, this is happening to me, this is how I'm being affected. Mm-hmm. And then boom, you can try and help right there.
Right.
So I have my issues, but honestly, when I'm door knocking, that's what I really want to hear from people, because we're like, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you, but what concerns do you have with our state or in our district? So
right. I think we have a couple of calls coming in.
Cool.
Let's see. We're not there right now. Let's see. All right. We've got another call, I believe. Good morning.
Oh, good morning. Hi.
How you doing?
Good. Good job, Paul. This is Nora.
Oh, hi, Nora.
Hi. You're doing great.
Thank you.
you really are. And I've known Paul since he was younger. I was their neighbor, actually, on Richard Street. Mm-hmm. And I have to tell you, he is a focused, conscientious, dedicated young man.
Yeah. He sounds like it, Nora. He really does. And like I said, it's the first time I'm meeting him in person, and I can already hear the passion, and I can hear the good things he wants to do, not just for the city, but the state.
Yeah, I'm amazed he has a really full workload as it is with college and then whatever he does with the community. But I really believe that when a constituent calls, he will make an appointment, he will follow up. And I think that I've been a resident here for 15 years, and mm-hmm. I had an experience with Paul Heroux, yeah. and he always followed up on my phone calls, and I see that in Paul Salguero. I do.
Yeah.
That same quality.
Right, exactly. And plus, he's, as I said, it's the first time I'm meeting him, so he's a down-to-earth guy, I think.
I know. I'm glad you picked up on that, and yeah. I thank you, and go out and vote, everybody.
That's right. Thanks, Nora.
Okay, thank you,
Nora.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. Don't be a stranger. That's for sure. that's always a good thing to have somebody out there who knows you out mm-hmm. there, you know, a neighbor of you. Just like your mom called a few moments ago, your neighbor Nora called. We would like to talk to Paulo just for a few moments or so, 508-222-1320. We are going to take another break in just a couple of moments. We also have the latest conditions on the forecast with Jim coming up in just a couple of moments. moments. Yeah, this is something, as you said, as I said, not only working for the city, but as I said, I can hear you saying you want to do a lot of work continuing for the city. Mm-hmm. Are there other aspects out there that you want to look at that hasn't been done for as a state level?
So that was, you know, there was a bill, well, it was an amendment that Mayor Herro wanted to have, which was the measuring of our prison programs.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's really important. I would push for that again, because we're investing money into these programs when we don't know if they're really reducing recidivism or not. Recidivism is, you know, the percentage that someone will commit a crime again after being released from prison. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really important because, you know, my point is, my opinion is we should invest money the right way, right? So, because it's the people's money.
Sure.
And I want to make sure those are going to the things that are working properly. And I wouldn't want to, you know, if there's a study done, I just don't want to see like millions of dollars, mm-hmm. which are probably being done into programs that aren't effective and it's just a waste, mm-hmm. you know? So that's something I would push. And there was another bill I think is important too, that he had a little lungs bill, which is people, I believe it was, the goal was to have, it was supposed to be illegal if anyone's smoking in a car with a child 12 and under or under 12,
like
I believe
yeah.
it was.
Yeah.
That I think is important, you know, because you see laws where, you know, people, you know, you have to wear your seatbelt, you have to be off your phone. So I mm-hmm. think you shouldn't smoke in a car with a child.
Mm-hmm. And period. Don't smoke.
Period. Exactly. Yeah. Of course. And I think those are two things that didn't go. So I would try and bring those back, and then try to bring in more resources, because special education is huge, and I want to see those programs being, you know, worked on at our level.
Yeah. All right. I think we do have another phone call. Boy, this is pretty good. I think you're grabbing all everybody
cool.
that you need in here.
Sounds good.
Good morning. You're next.
Good morning, Paul. This is Dad.
Hey, there's your dad.
Oh, hi. I couldn't hear it at first. What's up?
Oh, nothing. Just want to wish you good luck.
He's working right now. My father's
yeah,
a baker
I'm at work,
for Honeydew.
Yeah.
So how's your son sounding? How's he doing so far?
I think he's doing very well. I think he's doing good.
Now, you're giving him a lot of support as well. What do you see him, you know, how did you see him, you know, growing up and then also now running as a state representative? You've got to give him a lot of credit, that's for sure.
Oh, I do give him a lot of credit. Even as he was growing up, he was always a kid who wanted to be involved with grown-ups and trying to help them any way he could, you know, as he was a kid. He was always into, you know, the grown-ups, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he's going to do very well, you know.
Well, he certainly does have the background of his family and friends and his neighbors, mm-hmm. that's for sure.
Yep, I think he'll do good. I just want to call and wish him luck, you know. I'm at work right now, so I can't be on the phone for too long.
All right. Well, I'm glad you called in.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Okay.
Good luck.
Thanks. And his first name is Paulo as well, right?
Yep.
Okay. So that, I mean, that's, there you go. I mean, you've got, I think so far since we've had candidates in studio, you've got the record, I think, of people calling in and asking, you know, with well wishes as well. As I said, you know, there's a lot of other things out there. One thing that you did go back into about the problems, you know, with the smoking mm-hmm. in cars and stuff like that. That goes back onto one other thing that just triggered my mind again, is a lot of the people who will work as a representative will work with the law enforcement. That is something that you'll probably be working a lot with Tom Quinn or even mm-hmm. Tom Hodgson as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. I think, you know, when people talk about a common topic, sometimes I'll come across as like gun rights and mm-hmm. how do I feel about gun violence? And I think that goes back to community-oriented policing and problem-oriented policing, because I think in terms of stopping gun violence, you know, this is going to sound cynical, but I don't think laws stop mm-hmm. violence, right? And I think that goes back to straight to community. So I would like to see, figure out where it's happening, who's doing it, and you know, that I think that's the basis of how to really stop gun violence. You know, you look at all these different experiments that have been done. So that's what I would like to see. Even that's a good topic. You could even have, I don't know the exact statistics what gun crime is in Attleboro, but because you know sometimes that's what they do. Probably not to the policing. Maybe someone might not know, but that's when there's a certain problem in the community, and the police specifically try to address that. So sometimes people might call the community and say, "Listen, there's you know, public drunkenness, or hey, there's drug deals all the time at the corner of my street."
Yeah.
So problem-oriented policing is like, all right, let's figure out what street it is, and then you try to prevent it or react to it, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm all for proactive policing, meaning let's try to address it before it even happens,
right? Yeah.
As opposed to reactive.
Okay. All right. We're going to take a quick break here. I got a few other questions to mention to Paulo this morning, because it basically goes right to basically what you're talking about as well. 20 minutes in front of the hour, 9 o'clock here on this Friday morning. We're going to have our final update on the forecast from meteorologist Jim Corbin coming up next.
Richards Memorial Library's annual Book Potluck is coming soon. The Book Potluck is a time to share with others the books that you have enjoyed this last year. The potluck takes place on February 3rd at 11 o'clock a.m. Attendees are asked to contact librarian Maggie Holmes by January 18th with a list of books they are recommending so she can create a book list and order copies of the books for people to check out. You can email librarian Maggie Holmes at mholmes@salesinc.org.
Staying at home, surrounded by family and friends, resting comfortably, with your illness under control, and support for your family caregivers. That's what most Americans want at life's end. Hospice can make it happen. With the help of hospice, patients and families alike can focus on what's most important, enjoying life together and living as fully as possible. Feel free to contact Community VNA Hospice at 508-222-0118. You can also visit communityvna.com for more information.
On January 22nd at 6:30 p.m., the Greater Attleboro Area Suicide Prevention Coalition is sponsoring a kitchen table conversation at the Attleboro Public Library. This conversation will serve as a grief support group for suicide loss survivors and will be facilitated by Lisa Jo Megna Mitchell. This event is not clinical and is meant to be peer-to-peer support. If you are uncomfortable coming alone, and many are, you can bring a friend. The doors are open to anyone in need of grief support. Registration is not necessary for this event.
All right, Jim Corbin now continuing with another look at the weather forecast on this Friday morning. Jim.
Well, I'm going to try to get rid of all this ice that's around so everyone can walk around and knock on the doors and walk the neighborhoods and have it much more comfortable outside. So good luck to Paul in his endeavors. As always, this weather report brought to you by Mondovi Dental. They're located at 45 West Street in Attleboro. Dr. Juliana Sager and his staff offer a wide variety of dental services, cosmetic and restorative dentistry to emergency dental procedures. They offer to children, adults, and seniors, and as usual, they offer exams, x-rays, and cleanings. And they are currently accepting new clients. For more information, you can visit MondoviDental.com, or you can call them anytime, 508-222-6500. 508-222-6500. Mondovi Dental, 45 West Street in Attleboro. Again, we're going to reach about 37, 38 this afternoon. So, again, going above freezing for the third straight day, although not exactly a nice day the other day above freezing by a few degrees, but at least we have lost now the extreme cold. Tonight falling back to the upper 20s, and then it's back to sunshine tomorrow. We're going to make it day three of dry weather and fairly comfortable temperatures, about 44, 45 tomorrow afternoon for highs. And then as we go into Sunday, mostly sunny, maybe a little breezy tomorrow and less breezy on Sunday. So if I had to actually pick what day is better on the weekend by a small amount, probably Sunday because it's slightly less breezy. Then on Monday, thickening clouds, some rain Monday night into Tuesday morning. That could end as a few wet snowflakes, and then dry and chilly weather, but not brutally cold, probably in the upper 20s and low 30s by Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday of next week. Those of you that are longing for another snow event, well, the earliest that I can see anything is possibly next weekend. Not this weekend, but next weekend. So, and again, we're quieting down for a while.
Yeah, and will you be back on the air in the morning?
Yes, I will, with Elaine at 7:15 tomorrow morning.
Okay. All right. Well, enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Okay, Dom. Talk to you on Monday.
And go Pats, right?
That's right. Unless Brady does not play, they should easily win, I think.
Yeah, I think so. I hope so and everything.
All right. Talk to you on Monday.
Okay. Yeah. That is something I know that my guest is wants to say. I know, go Pats as well, right?
Yeah, I'm a big Belichick fan.
Yeah.
I grew up, honestly, I grew up a Miami Dolphins fan because it started. I was watching a Dolphins-Patriots game, and I go to my uncle, and this was like an unfortunate event for me. I was like, hey, so who are you rooting for? He's like, oh, the Patriots. Like, oh, all right, I'll take the other team. And then, man, it couldn't be Minnesota or, a team like that. But so I just stuck with it. And But I grew up playing football. I love football's by far my favorite sport.
Now, the days when Marino was quarterback or after Marino?
Oh, that was after. So I remember watching Jay Fiedler.
Oh, yeah.
A.J. Feely, Dante Culpepper. Mm-hmm. And that was amazing because – the Dolphins at one point had a chance to get either Dante Culpepper or Drew Brees.
Yeah, right.
At one point. And we went with Dante Culpepper. Now, who's to say Brees would do the same stuff he did in Miami as he did later in his career?
Yeah,
but,
exactly.
Man, I always look back to like, man, we could have had Drew Brees.
Yeah, right,
but,
really.
But, yeah, it was, the 2008, the Dolphins actually won the AFC East, mm-hmm. and that was like the last time I think they won. A
prediction on a score for Sunday?
Ooh, the score Sunday. I mean, I think it might get past the 30s. I don't know an exact score, but yeah. I think it's going to be high scoring.
Yeah,
I think it'll be a high scoring game.
With Pats winning, beating them.
Yeah, of course. I think, Belichick's been there
before. If Gronk is staying in the game.
Yeah, and I think Brady's going to play too. I think the whole jammed hand, I honestly think it's amazing because when the Patriots are in the playoffs, something always...
Of course.
So I think it just adds to the element, mm-hmm. Because, they're building their legacy, too.
Yeah, of course.
So, but Bill Belichick will by far... He's one of the greatest, if not the greatest, NFL football coach to ever coach.
I agree with you as well. You mentioned some of the crime in this area as well. We're talking about a lot of the stuff, which is, as a state rep, these people will work on these items. It's not just local issues. But, we have seen, we've just talked about some of the shootings in the area. Recently, we had the shootings on South Avenue, right there near Patterson Street there. You had the burning body from last year on Prescott there. But you also have, those are some of the issues that people have. But the other issue is very important now, and a lot of people may not understand why this is coming up, is the marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
Your thoughts on sure. that? I know that's, down in the industrial park, they want to put one down there as well.
Yeah, sure. So in terms of marijuana, when I door knock, I've had someone say, how do you feel about legalizing for recreational use?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you look at the states I've done it, like Colorado. So, in terms of if I would see it legalized, I hope the law would say something where like 85% of the revenues would have to go towards the educational system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because, you look at, drunk driving and alcohol abuse, and there's a lot of deaths with that, but you don't really hear, someone high on marijuana, being violent, so that's how I kind of see the in terms of legalizing, and then the people voted on it too. So when the people vote and they say, we're for it, so I think that's essentially what you should see done because that's what the people want. But that's how I kind of see, in terms of bringing it to a community, right? So everyone's always for it, but they're like, I don't want it in my community,
right?
I get that a lot too. But I think if it's, in an area, and granted, so you'd have to talk to that community, right? How the residents mm-hmm. feel about it. Now, if the argument pop, and the argument will always be, is there enough benefits in order to suffice what the people are saying? That is there benefits to say, listen, we're going to have it regardless?
Mm-hmm.
One, and it's interesting because I don't know if people watch city council meetings, but sometimes people go there and just talk about, like, there's going to be so much traffic, which that's a big thing, too, because you have to figure, I think the closest one, in terms of medical, to us might be Brockton.
Right, yeah.
I think that's the closest one. So you have people from Rhode Island and Attleboro coming. But if it's from medical purposes and there are some benefits, it's just evidence proving that it does help in some cases. But I would be, hear from the community, see what they want, and then try to find common ground. Because I always like win-win situations, right? So hear from them, see what you can work with, and then try to work around that.
Yeah, I know recently, I'm not sure what community it was, maybe it was around here, they talked about possibly putting it near a school, wherever it was. I mean, in the industrial park off of Lower County Street, maybe a good idea for it. You know, some of the other businesses. But the other thing, on the other hand, when you've got something like that going, you kind of talked, you know, kind of hand in hand with the violence and, you know, the shootings and stuff like that. The one on South Avenue was due to marijuana, you know.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really, I mean, that's not always the problem with it.
Yeah.
That, you know, whatever it could be. But it just happens to be, like you mentioned a few moments ago, a lot of times when it's happening in your local community, you know, these communities may have been a bedroom community or a very quiet community. And all of a sudden, when something happens, boom, there's one and two right after each other.
Yeah, that's we were saying off here. I was like, you know, it seems like Attleboro, I mean, I enjoy living in Attleboro, right? Sure. We've always lived here. But sometimes when something hits the news, it's like, whoa, like that's happening here.
Yeah.
You know, we said when the crystal meth lab got discovered, I was like, whoa, we have that in Attleboro. That was one I probably would have never guessed that we would have. But yeah, it's you know, that the shooting that happened off South Ave being due to marijuana. So when I said I've never seen, what I was trying to say is I've never seen someone on marijuana become violent.
Right.
But
right.
That's not to say the drugs don't cause violence, because obviously that person was, and you know, after either drugs, money, or maybe, you know, something obviously happened in that case. But yeah, in terms, it's unfortunate to see those events happen. So I would, you know, I don't know how, you know, in terms of, now, if marijuana was legal, who's to say that still wouldn't happen?
Right.
Right? Because even when it's legal, people will still grow their own, still sell their own. So I still think stuff like that could, unfortunately, probably still happen.
Yeah, and that basically goes back to what you said earlier about the DARE program.
Mm-hmm.
They're teaching you as an 11-year-old, you're going back as a 5th and 6th grade student. You know, some of these people, Maybe they didn't get into the DARE program back then, because a lot of the students don't. But it kind of goes back to saying, like, you know, maybe they should learn it a little later. But I think when you said earlier, when you're a 5th or 6th grade student, you're getting it firsthand.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said, I think personally, like you said, continue it. I mean, it's unfortunate, you know, when I was working for Inland Cable, you know, back in the 80s and early 90s, I covered many graduations and worked with some of the police officers in Attleboro, North Attleboro, Taunton, Rehoboth especially. And then you see that Rehoboth got rid of theirs, you know, because of the grants.
Yep.
That's kind of sad to see that.
Yeah, that's definitely one component of it. And another thing that I would, you know, I'm a strong advocate for, because I would played in school, but after school programs like intramurals and sports, because that's and sometimes sports is an outlet kids find, right?
Sure.
And that they can get different opportunities for them after school programs, because that hour to 2 hours that you're after school, that's keeping you, one, if they sort of say, like, off the street, and you know, you're hanging out with hopefully a good population that care.
Yeah.
And because sometimes, you know, if you have you know, if you come from like a single parent home, or maybe your parents don't get out of work until, you know, 3 o'clock or so, 4 o'clock. And so you go to school, play the game, and then you go home back to where your family is. So I think after school programs and sports definitely help with, you know, the lack, you know, let's say you don't have a DARE program, but you have, you know, after school dodgeball or kickball something.
Well, that's where something like the recreation department here in Attleboro has, the foreman that I know here in Attleboro, Cliff Daniel, who's been a friend of mine for over 30 years. I just saw him on Tuesday night. He says, you know, they continue keeping that place opened all the time, especially for after school, like from 3 to 5, from the fall to winter.
Yeah.
They always got something going on. And what you got, as you mentioned, you've got to go into these programs. Hopefully you get the right kids in there, you know, and it's the worst part of it is if you go into that wrong crowd.
Yeah.
That's important as well.
Of course, there's you know, I taught at a YMCA in Fall River. I was an enrichment teacher there. So I taught, you know, it was second, third, and fourth graders. And there was some, you know, they came from all different backgrounds, right? So there are some students where, you know, you can see it right away that, you know, I hope this student doesn't get it wrong with the wrong crowd. You know what I mean?
Right.
So you kind of try and, you know, there was one student that if he acted out in class, because we had enough teachers, so I could be like, I'll be right back. And, you know, you have like a little squishy football, toss it around a couple minutes.
Right.
It's calmed down already. He's ready to focus up again. So I think that's really important.
Yeah, as you know, as you mentioned, there are so many programs out there to help the youngsters out there, and there's also a lot of places out there that help the adults out there as well.
Sure.
In the last couple of minutes that we have, first of all, I want to thank you
for
joining
me.
Us here. You know, the good thing about it is you came in a little earlier, so I'm glad of that. First of all. Before we get out of here in the next few minutes, tell our listeners once again why a state representative and why you want to be their candidate out there.
Sure. So ultimately, I want to make a difference in our community. I want to hear from everyone, and I want to try and help as many people as I can in the time that if I have the privilege and honor of serving. I'd like to make a difference in the time I have as an elected official. I want to make sure senior citizens, our veterans, anyone in our community, education, criminal justice reform, all those issues are taken care of. You know, and I think, like you said, I was a down-to-earth guy. You know, the hand I shake a janitor with is the same hand I shake a CEO with, uh-huh. right? So I'm a firm believer in, you know, being humble and outgoing and down-to-earth. And, you know, that's just ultimately like you're voting for someone who's going to be knocking on doors at the state house, the speaker of the house. I'm going to knock on door and say, hey, listen, Attleboro is important. This needs to pass. And if I have to do it every single day, knock on a door to get something passed, I will. Because that's, I think, when people vote for you and they pay you paycheck, I think that's the type of attitude you should have. Because ultimately you're representing them and you're responsible for your district. So that's how I honestly feel.
As I mentioned earlier, that a person who wants to be your state representative at a young age of 23, as I said to you before, I give you a lot of credit on that. I would love to see, I haven't made up my mind at all. A lot of our folks probably out there have not made up my mind made up their minds as well. But just listening to you. I can see where you're coming from. As I said, all I can say is I do wish you a heck of a lot of luck out there. And
thank
I
you.
Hope that you do become a state representative in this
thank
area
you.
Down the line.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
And anytime, as I said, telling to all of our other candidates out there, our door is always open to you as well as all of the other people out there.
Thank you.
And, you want to come back before the election as well and, kind of update what's going on in the next couple of months.
Awesome.
Be our guest.
Cool.
All right. Thank you.
All
right. That is going to wrap it up for yours truly, folks. Of course, Paulo Salguero Jr. is the gentleman's name. He is running for a state representative in this area. He would love your vote. Once again, the primary and the date, once again, Paul.
The primary is March 6th. That's where that's the first step. To the election. It'll be March 6th.
And the actual election
is? It will be April 4th.
April 4th.
I believe.
Okay. All right. So once again, thanks for joining
us. Thank you for having me.
All right. Until then, folks, that's going to wrap it up for yours truly. Go Patriots. And of course, we'll do it all again Monday morning starting at 6:00.